Module 11. Common Elk Hunting Challenges. Chapter 2. Elk Troubles. In the previous chapter, I mentioned several natural challenges that can affect the outcome of an elk hunt. I don't want this module to become a discouraging look into the reality of elk hunting, but I think it's important to recognize the things that can go wrong and have a game plan of what to do when these things happen. And they will. Expecting a few bumps along the trail, as well as being prepared to react to them, is critical in being successful as an elk hunter. I focused on several natural occurrences that can hamper elk hunting, and I want to now shift gears and look at how the dynamics within an elk herd can affect elk hunting. These dynamics include elk density, bull-to-cow ratios, size of the herds, and elk vocalization. Elk density. As I mentioned previously, elk densities within particular areas can change from year to year and play a role in the quality of your hunt. Predators, fires, weather, along with other factors, can decrease populations, concentrate populations, or scatter populations. Additionally, state Fish and Wildlife departments establish management objectives that assist in keeping the elk populations within a certain range within specific areas. I think we would all agree that the ideal situation for elk hunting would be a high number of bulls and a moderate number of cows with a large overall population of elk. This would create breeding competition between the bulls, and the rut activity would be intense. However, there are very few areas where these objectives are achieved, especially in public land over-the-counter units. Even within individual units, there can be drastic differences in elk densities, which can create drastic differences in the overall hunting experience. Where overall elk densities are low, meaning low numbers of elk spread out over a large area, finding elk can be a challenge. When you bump the elk and chase them out of their comfort area, it might be several days before you find another herd of elk to hunt. The positive aspects of these areas are that there are usually fewer hunters there, so the elk seem to tolerate your pressure a little more. If you play it right, it's possible to spend your week hunting the same small herd of elk. Additionally, the lack of other hunting pressure, coupled with the new competition from you, another bull, can be a good recipe for agitating a herd bull and creating great calling opportunities. On the other end of the spectrum, there are pros and cons for hunting in an area with higher elk densities. One of the benefits is that you'll be able to find elk easier and more often. When you mess up an opportunity, there will often be another opportunity waiting for you just around the next ridge. The downside to high elk densities, especially in over-the-counter units, can be the number of other hunters you'll likely run into. Additionally, more eyes and ears and noses can create a very challenging environment for getting close to a herd bull. Bull-to-cow ratios. Even within these areas of high elk densities, there are other factors that can completely change the dynamics of the herd and your hunt. If there are high elk densities, but a low bull-to-cow ratio, meaning tons of cows but few bulls, it can be tough to call in the bulls. The bulls have plenty of cows to choose from and aren't as desperate or as willing to come in to steal a few cows away from a competing bull. The high population of elk now becomes a hurdle as you try to maneuver through hundreds of cows to get close to the bull. On the flip side, high numbers of elk coupled with a high bull-to-cow ratio can be a great recipe for success. The bugling action in these areas can be off the charts, and with bulls continually fighting and stealing cows, you can have multiple opportunities every day. Many states publish their management objectives for each unit, including overall populations and bull-to-cow ratios. This information can be really helpful in deciding where to hunt, but it can also help determine how you'll need to hunt a certain area. Beyond the overall densities, populations, and dynamics of the elk herds, once the bulls have gathered their herds, several more challenges are often presented. As mentioned previously, within a herd there are more eyes, ears, and noses on the continual lookout for danger. Additionally, at this point, the bull has what he's looking for. Pulling a herd bull away from his cows can be a real challenge in just about any scenario, whether he's vocal or not. Non-vocal elk. Perhaps one of the most frustrating situations to deal with, especially if you're using calls, is non-vocal elk. There are many factors that can contribute to elk being less vocal, and we've discussed many of them already. Predators, hunting pressure, heat, drought. My personal hunting style doesn't bode very well for trying to hunt elk that just don't want to talk. So I found a few ways to help overcome that hurdle. First, it's important to determine two things before you just chalk up your lack of success to non-vocal elk. Number one, are there even elk in the area? And number two, why are they not talking? If you're confident that there are elk in the area, not hearing any bugles can be incredibly frustrating. This is more of a problem in areas where the challenges we've discussed previously are prevalent. Additionally, the more of those challenges that exist in one location, the less vocal the elk seem to be. If you have an area where there is a ton of hunting pressure, lots of predators, hot, dry conditions, and a full moon, you might not hear many or any bugles. So what can you do to overcome this challenge? Go somewhere else. Seriously, you can't control the number of hunters or predators in that particular area, and you can't control the weather or the moon. But you can control where you hunt. If I'm up against horribly frustrating conditions that are causing the elk to be silent when they should be talking, I simply go somewhere else. I firmly believe that somewhere within every unit, every day of the season, there's an elk somewhere that's talking during the rut. It then becomes my mission to find that area and find that elk. If relocating simply isn't an option, and I'm not really sure why it wouldn't be, then you're going to have to adapt. If the elk are there but they aren't talking, you're going to have to use an alternate method to hunt them. This is when it becomes important to figure out exactly why they aren't talking. Then you can adjust your hunting style to give you the best chance of success. If you end up hunting non-vocal elk, you might have to resort to using optics to spot elk as they feed at first light and then employ the art of stalking. Or you might need to focus your efforts on finding water sources where the elk are concentrated and then using a tree stand or ground blind to intercept them as they move at first light. There are always options, and the most consistently successful elk hunters realize when their methods aren't working and then adapt. I will mention one off-the-wall tactic I found to be helpful at squeezing a bugle out of a tight-lipped bull. Aside from my standard go-to method of getting close to the elk to get them to respond more readily, I found that a display bugle will often get a bull to bugle back when no other bugles are eliciting a response. It doesn't always ensure that I'll be able to call the bull in, but sometimes the reassurance that the bull is still there, or that he's close, is really all I'm looking for. A display bugle is often referred to as the lip ball. It's the sound bulls use to display their dominance to the cows. I sometimes refer to this bugle as the shock bugle. Similar to a shock gobble that turkey hunters use to get a tom turkey to respond, this call seems to work better when nothing else is working. Again, it doesn't necessarily work to call the bull in, but if I'm trying to pry a sound out of him, I've had success using the shock bugle. Here's a quick demonstration of using the shock bugle.
There are a lot of factors that can make elk non-vocal and call shy. Predators, hunting pressure, early season, late season. For me, there's nothing worse than a tight-lipped bull. If you want to call in an elk, you need to have that elk make some noise. So I found a certain call seems to work a little better than most at getting a response out of that bull. It's not a call that you use to call the elk in, but just to get an initial response out of him, it can be very effective. Similar to a shock gobble for turkey hunters, I call this my shock bugle. And it's basically the display call, which is the lip ball bugle. And the way you make that is basically buzzing your lips inside the tube right when you hit that high note. I'll demonstrate what it sounds like. The display bugle is basically the call the bulls use to display their dominance to the cows. And that can be very effective to get that bull just to make some noise so you can know exactly where he is to be able to move in and set up on him to call him in. The basics behind that call, again, are just buzzing your lips, vibrating your lips inside the bugle tube right as you hit that high note. Similar to a trumpet player making that mouthpiece there, getting your lips up tight against it and then just buzzing them. Creates a vibration or a guttural sound inside the tube. So you go through your normal full octave bugle. Right as you hit that high note, you buzz your lips in the tube to get that deep sound. Again, that's not a sound that you're going to use to actually call in the bull, but it can be really effective at eliciting a sound out of him so you can pinpoint his location and then make a game plan to move in and call that bull in.
Vocal elk that bugle and run. If there's anything I find more frustrating than non-vocal elk, it can be vocal elk that just won't come into my calls. If you've called elk for more than a season or two, you've likely encountered the herd bulls that always seem to round up their cows and leave for no apparent reason, especially when you get in close. It's important in these situations to understand why these elk bugle and run. I truly feel that there is always a reason a bull reacts one way or another, and in this case, there are a handful of options to consider. When you're calling to a bull and trying to entice him into your setup, put yourself in the bull's shoes. What's going through his mind? What can you do or say that's going to make him come to you? If you were an elk, what could another elk do or say to make you go to him? What are some of the things that might prevent the bull from coming in? When you break down these situations in such a way, answers and the associated solutions oftentimes become more recognizable. The main reasons I've found that a bull will round up his cows and leave usually involve one of the following. Number one, he's been pressured over and over by hunters and is wary. Number two, he's a younger bull with cows that doesn't want to take a chance of losing his harem to a bigger bull. Number three, he's a bigger bull that's established his harem of cows and is now focused on his cows that are coming into estrus. And number four, the elk senses are alerting them to possible danger. For instance, seeing movement that's out of place, hearing noises that aren't natural, or smelling stinky humans. Outside of these four issues, there really isn't much that will push a rutting bull away. It's certainly not a fully comprehensive list, but I'd say those four situations cover probably 75% of the instances when I've seen a bull take his cows and leave. Number one, wary due to pressure. It's no secret that if you're hunting an over-the-counter or general tag on public land, you can expect some level of hunting pressure from other hunters. And it's also obvious that if there's pressure from other hunters, it can affect the way the elk responds and reacts, especially to your calling. An elk that's been called in to a setup and winded a hunter becomes more wary each time he hears a bugle. It doesn't mean he can't be called in, but he recognizes there's pressure, and he also recognizes the associated dangers with that pressure. The more pressure the bull receives, the less likely he's going to be to come in, even if he's generally vocal and responsive. A few seasons ago, I drew a hard-to-draw elk tag in Oregon in a unit that's known to have some really nice bulls. I did my research and even made a preseason scouting trip to the unit to get a better feel for the area. Due to my previous experiences with Oregon elk, I chose to hunt later in the season and scheduled to hunt Oregon the last week of September and go to Montana earlier. Just a few hours into my hunt in Oregon, I knew it was going to be tough. We mountain biked into one of the areas we had scouted and found evidence of other hunters everywhere. Bike tracks, boot tracks. At dark, headlights from other hunters on mountain bikes dotted the adjacent hillsides. We weren't alone. Unfortunately, the elk wanted to be left alone. We relocated multiple times trying to find pockets of less accessible country where the elk might have received less pressure. However, by this point, the fourth week of the season, we found very few areas where this was the case. We found areas where there weren't many hunters at the time, but they had been there just the week before. The bulls we called to were herded up, and it seemed like any sound we threw at them resulted in them moving off at a pace that was faster than we could follow. I managed to get close to several elk, but they weren't acting like elk should act during the last week of September, especially in a controlled hunt area. There were mature bulls with one or two cows that literally wouldn't bugle even when we got close. There were big bulls that would bugle, but wouldn't let us get close. There were young bulls without cows that took way more effort to coax in than they should have. And all of this was the result of too much hunting pressure on the elk. Unfortunately, returning a week earlier the next season wasn't an option, and we had to make do with what we had. I could have easily thrown in the towel and blamed the poor experience on other hunters, but that isn't the way I'm wired. Don't get me wrong, I did my fair share of whining, but we just dug deeper and made it happen. We ended up going 2 for 2 on 6-point bulls, and mine came on the very last afternoon of the hunt. How did we do it? Persistence. We knew the elk had been pressured, and we just had to find the right bull on the right day and capitalize on every single limited opportunity that came along. So, we just kept pushing on. We found tiny little pockets that were overlooked where the elk were most likely to retreat to when pressured. We hiked. We hiked a lot. We changed tactics and started doing more stalking once we heard a bugle rather than relying so heavily on the calls. I threw every calling tactic I knew at the elk, and in the end, both of the elk we killed were called in. I found raking to be a very effective addition to my calling sequences, and it ended up being the factor that sealed the deal. But they didn't come easy. If you want to watch the video from that Oregon hunt with my buddy David Burdett, be sure and visit the online version or the app version of the online course. If I could do it over, I would go back earlier in the season next time before the elk get too pressured. Every day of season brings more human encounters to the elk, so the later in the season you hunt, it's that much more likely that the bulls will have been pressured. Since I couldn't change when I chose to hunt, I had to change how I hunted. Going deeper to find less pressured areas, looking for those overlooked pockets, slipping in close, and then adjusting my aggression based upon each elk's attitude. Even with these adjustments, there were still more elk that bugled and ran away than those who stood their ground or came in. And this was in a controlled hunt, not an over-the-counter area. With over-the-counter tags, the opportunities are often even more limited. However, they aren't completely non-existent. Number 2, a young bull running in fear. Early in the season, it's not uncommon for the younger, less mature bulls to be the first ones to get to the cows. I sometimes laugh because it really seems like the big herd bulls sit back and let the smaller bulls do all the work of rounding up the cows. These younger bulls run around thinking they're the herd bulls, but once the actual rut kicks in, the big bulls show up and take over. They do the breeding, then they ride off into the sunset. Oftentimes, I've seen young bulls who've found themselves at the head of the herd that are scared to death to lose their cows. Knowing they don't stand a chance of surviving a battle with a more mature herd bull, they become accustomed to rounding up their cows and just running away from potential fights. Honestly, though, this situation is probably the least likely of the four I mentioned. However, it is worth mentioning, as an adjustment to tactics and an understanding of the bull's thought process can bring success. In these cases, if a young bull has cows and hears several more cows, he'll probably get excited. If he bugles in his excitement, then gets cut off by an aggressive challenge bugle, he might flee the scene. If, on the other hand, he hears a wimpy little bugle not too much unlike his own, he might have enough courage to come in and try his hand at securing a few more cows. Again, it's so important to put yourself into the elk's mindset. Why would this bull be running? What do I need to do to convince him to come in, and what can I do to ease the concerns that are making him run away in the first place? Number 3, a mature herd bull that's focused on breeding. A few years back, we were hunting in Wyoming on a general archery tag. The area we chose to hunt that season had plenty of pressure, but we were still confident in our ability to get away from the crowds and find elk. To some degree, we were able to do both. However, we struggled for 8 days to actually call an elk in. We heard hundreds of bugles each day, but pulling the bulls away and into our setup was difficult. In fact, it was probably one of the more difficult hunts I've been on. We were hunting during the peak of the rut. Cows were in estrus, and the bulls were screaming their heads off. It should have been a dream hunt, and except for the fact that we didn't fill a single elk tag, it was still a crazy good hunt. But for someone who loves calling elk, it was incredibly difficult to set my elk calls down. We followed bugle after bugle, day after day, from the bottom of the mountain all the way to the top. No matter how convincing we sounded, we couldn't get a bull to come away from the herd and come to our calls. Even the younger bulls were glued to the herds, trying like crazy to just slip in and steal away a cow. The cows were in estrus, and they had the bull's full attention. Turning his attention to anything other than those cows that were right in front of him could lead to another bull stealing his cows, so the herd bull simply didn't take any chances. Finally, after slowly recognizing, or at least admitting, that calling wasn't the most effective tactic, we changed it up and had a little bit better luck. I found two things that seemed to work in this situation. First, I had to put my calls away and went completely quiet, other than possibly using the calls to locate an elk. Once I had the elk located, I just followed the herd up the mountain. I was able to get in close to several elk, and as badly as I wanted to call, I learned that I couldn't. From there, it became simply a matter of putting myself in a position that would increase my chances of a bull chasing a cow by me, or just getting close enough to get a shot at a bull without being detected. I didn't call in a single bull in those 8 days on that hunt, but I did have three opportunities at nice six-point bulls simply by following their bugles and slipping in silently on the herds. The other thing that I found effective that season was raking. I was able to pry a couple herd bulls away from the herds with nothing more than raking. If I added a call, a cow call or a bugle, any kind of a call, the bull would go quiet and slip back to his herd. But if I solely raked a tree, the herd bulls seemed to be more likely to come in and check me out. Number 4. Danger. Stranger. The number one reason I have actually found for elk remaining vocal but running away is when one of their senses becomes aware of danger. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard from frustrated hunters who talk about elk just moving away from their calling for no apparent reason. When I ask a simple question like, which direction was the wind going, they brush it off and blame the situation on call shy elk, or they revert back to that argument that a herd bull simply can't be called in. Most elk hunters don't pay attention to the wind nearly enough. I hope that throughout this online course, I've talked enough about the wind enough times that you won't ever be guilty of this. You will never beat an elk's nose if even the slightest breeze or thermal is moving even slightly in their direction. I'm sure there'll be one or two people hearing this that will come up with an example of when they had an elk walk right up to them with the wind at their back, but don't rely on that or hope that it'll work that way. Pay attention to the wind always. Beyond their sense of smell, an elk's sense of sight and hearing can disrupt even the most stealthy of approaches from an elk hunter. I've actually heard other hunters talking in very audible voices from 200 yards away from me as they hike up along a ridgetop just seconds before they stop and let out a bugle. Elk can hear far better than I can, and they know what humans sound like, and they associate the sound of human voices with danger. Be mindful of all the noise you make, and give the elk far more credit than you want to for their sense of hearing. Any unnatural sound can alert them to danger and make them intensely aware of their surroundings and possibly less likely to come into your calls. Lastly, pay attention to your movements as you close the distance on elk. A straggling spike or a cow that's lagging behind the herd might see you and then quietly run to the herd to alert them of danger. From there, it can be really hard to convince the rest of the elk that there isn't danger behind them. In a nutshell, if an elk isn't vocal, or if it's vocal but won't come into your calls, there's a reason. The more you can understand how an elk thinks and recognize why it won't come in, the more readily you'll be able to adjust and overcome these challenges. Summary. Hopefully within all of these modules, you're able to find information that will increase your chances of being a more successful elk hunter. I've shared everything I know, all the tips and tactics and knowledge that I've accumulated in over 35 years of chasing and hunting elk. I've covered all the common challenges that often provide obstacles during the hunt, as well as some ways to overcome or minimize the effects of those obstacles. At this point, all of your hard work should present you with a shot opportunity on an elk. However, a shot opportunity doesn't always immediately precede success. Things can and do happen that are beyond our control, even at that moment of truth. A good shot doesn't always end up with the elk falling over within sight. A bad shot hardly ever does. Learning to track and blood trail an elk is vital to finishing the job and ensuring success.